You presented the BOND-2 data looking at cetuximab and bevacizumab here at this meeting a couple years ago. Where are we right now in terms of understanding that combination as well as the bevacizumab plus panitumumab, and where do you think it's heading?
Well, there's a couple of different questions. The BOND-2 study, which combined Bev and Cetux for the first time, was done in a population of patients that were naive to both. That population in previously treated patients is very, very rare today. And so one of the studies that we're doing is what we call the BOND 2.5 study, where we are taking patients who have progressed on both irinotecan and bevacizumab, either together or sequentially, and treating them with irinotecan, bevacizumab, and cetuximab to see if we see the kind of robust activity that we saw in the BOND 2 study in now a Bev previously exposed population. That study has completed about two-thirds of its accrual, so we hope we'll have some data on that in the next year or so.
How many patients are you looking for?
40. In the meantime, the intergroup has taken the combination. The BOND-2 study was originally intended as a safety pilot for the intergroup, and under the leadership of Alan Vanuk and Charles Blanke, study 80405 has gone forward, whereby patients and doctors select either FOLFOX or FOLFIRI, because we as an intergroup are saying we're comfortable with either one. We think it's a dealer's choice question. And then the patient is randomized to receive either cetuximab or bevacizumab or a combination of cetux and bev together. That study, I believe, has accrued about 450 patients and certainly is going to need a lot more because the target is well over 2,000. So we encourage people to actively consider participation in that study. I think that will be an important question. An industry-sponsored study has looked at a very similar question with panitumumab. In that study, one population was FOLFOX and one smaller population was FOLFIRI. All patients were given bevacizumab, and the randomization was plus-minus panitumumab. So it's
talking about the PACE study.
The PACE study, yes. So this is now FOLFOX-BEV versus FOLFOX-BEV-panitumumab, or FOLFIRI-BEV versus FOLFIRI-BEV-panitumumab. That study has now completed its accrual. And so that may give us some of the early indications of anti-EGFR plus anti-VEGF therapy in conjunction with frontline chemotherapy. I think it's much too early to adopt that kind of approach as any kind of off-treatment standard. It's an interesting investigational approach, and when we see the data, we can decide if that's the kind of thing that we should be offering to some or all of our patients up front. Right now, I don't see evidence that supports the use of anti-EGFR therapy in frontline. We don't do that outside of a clinical trial. We do have a clinical trial that I'm running at Memorial Sloan Kettering, and the investigators at US Oncology and ION are helping us with accrual here and doing a lot of the heavy lifting. And this is a somewhat interesting way of trying to leverage both the bev-cetuximab combination data as well as the observation from Drs. Hurwitz and Kavinabar that 5-FU, leucovorin, and bevacizumab look to be promising. So we are using FOLFOX-BEV as the control arm of a modest-size randomized study, and the investigational arm is what we call FOLF-CB, which is biweekly 5-FU leucovorin with both cetuximab and bevacizumab. If you really break this down, what it is it's almost a head-to-head comparison between cetuximab and oxaliplatin. It's taking our newest cytotoxic and comparing it to the newer anti-EGFR biologic approach, and saying, can we move the biologics up front? Can we start to move some of the cytotoxics out of front line, save them for a later time, and save their toxicity for a later time? And is that a useful way of leveraging the different therapies that we have now? That study is past the halfway in accrual, so hopefully we'll have some information on that soon, too.